Joining us, our good friend Rich Waltz. And Rich is, of course, one of the top baseball broadcasters in the country. He's been doing a lot of work on Facebook and other games as we go through this baseball season. And I always appreciate having a chance to talk some ball with you. How are you?
I'm good. And if I don't know if you guys do pick to click. I'm going with Panic today. Good numbers against Lyles, so that's my pick to click. And it looks like he's in the lineup today, too.
All right. I'm looking 5 for 14, Panic. You know, what about McCutchen, 12 for 21 with two homers?
All right. I'll go there. But I think the Giants need Panic to get rolling, so I'm going Panic. That's my pick to click.
All right, very good. You know, Mac Williamson sent down. A lot of promise with him in spring training. Went to the hitting guru in L.A., where Justin Turner, of course, went. Got off to a tremendous start in spring. Hit the heck out of the ball in spring training. Came up and hit a bunch of home runs. Then he had the concussion, and he just hasn't been able to get the swing going again. So he's sent down today. Austin Slater is up. What do you think?
You know, it's interesting. You talk about the hit guru or the swing gurus, and the Diamondbacks actually hired one of those guys, Robert Van Skoik, who's done terrific work with guys like Turner and was J.D. Martinez's guy. The fascinating thing to me right now in baseball, and if you read about, you know, if you follow the game and read many of the great writers with The Athletic or nationally, there's a lot of talk and chatter and columns and opinions on what's wrong with the game and you know, how do you get excitement back into it? The game is with all the walks, balls not in play, stuff like that. In the games for MLB Network and even the Facebook games on MLB Network, I have a chance to get to cities a day or two before the game, talk to managers, talk to hitting coaches. And one of the things I've asked probably four or five hitting coaches is how do you balance the new swing and approach, the aggressive launch approach, with situational hitting? And I think a lot of people, when they look at the game, they're seeing the things that attract many people to the game: stolen bases, hit and run, hit behind the runner, little things. They see that disappearing from the game. And you know, there are some hitting coaches that and managers. I was at a game probably a month ago, tie game, eighth inning. The team, I'm not going to name managers or players or teams, but the team had a runner at second base with nobody out and a good closer. One of the guys who's a big launch angle, all or nothing hitter is at the plate, and you know, you're hopeful to get a guy over, get him in. This guy's approach was a swing from his heels, his first two swings, and it was 0-2, and you're thinking, all right, now he's just going to try to put the ball and play right side, move a guy up, get the lead, in comes the closer, they win the game. And again, his third swing was just on his heels, and he popped up to the third baseman. The other team scored the next inning. They lost the game. And so the next day I went in and talked to that manager, and I said, how with this, with launch angle is one thing, but approach at the plate combined with launch angle is another thing in terms of, am I just trying to lift and separate, or, you know, am I trying to situationally hit here? And the manager kind of shook his head and said, I've talked to these guys time in and time out that there's a time for this and there's a time for that. And the time last night was, hey, you can take a big swing, but you better put it in play on the right side so that if you do hit it on the ground or you do hit it in the air to right field, at the very least, we get the guy over to third. And he didn't see that in any of the three swings. So it's fascinating to me that the game has moved towards, and with success in terms of power numbers, and look at the success that J.D. Martinez or a Mitch Haniger or a Justin Turner have had in revamping their swing and essentially revitalizing their career. But at the same time, that approach of guys that are, hey, I get paid. And you hear this from guys coming to the minor leagues or even in the big leagues, realizing I can hit the ball the other way. I can hit inside the ball. But if I can hit 25 homers and slug up near 500, I'm going to get paid. And that's a real, right now, I think, tug of war between hitting coaches, philosophies, and in terms of those little things, Marty, managers can only utilize the players they have and the skills that those players have. And if those players don't have those skills or have abandoned that approach and abandoned that skills, it's really hard for managers to utilize those little things, or, you know, hitting behind a runner, get a guy in from third, hit and run, all of those things that people feel are disappearing from the game.
Boy, interesting. Rich Walsh with us. Always a good perspective on the game of baseball. Talking with Bruce Jenkins about the fun of baseball. And Ichiro came up this week. Of course, he was hiding in the dugout for the Mariners in Yankee Stadium wearing a Bobby Valentine fake mustache and a hoodie. And the question came up, you know, maybe sort of the legends of baseball have a home run derby with legends, maybe putting him in there and a couple of the other legends. What do you think about something like that and for the All-Star break around
that? I like that. I like that idea. In fact, last year I was pushing for an international versus a Major League Baseball team because you would have had Ohtani. If you were able to get Ohtani over, there's a couple of other big boppers over in Japan, maybe some of the Cubans that would go out there in that. I'll tell you what, if Ichiro is in the home run derby, he'll win it. I've seen enough of his batting practices to know that he can at will just send balls into the right field seats and hit them, you know, into upper decks and stuff like that. He's and at his age, he would win it. And that's a lot of his teammates and ex-teammates are pushing for that. But I like the idea. I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of hitters that don't, you know, it feels like it took a lot of arm twisting to get Bryce Harper to do it this year. And there's a lot of hitters and a lot of guys that are, whether they're afraid of messing with their swing, whether they're afraid of getting fatigued, or they just don't want to do it. You got to keep that event sexy if you're going to have that event.
Well, we talk about how many you know, you want to get the game younger, you want to make it more exciting. It's a game with ties to its history better than any professional sport. And there's guys who, you know, they'd be legends, but not ancient guys who you'd want to see take at bats. We hear the debate here in San Francisco all the time that Barry Bonds could roll out of bed tomorrow and maybe go hit 20 home runs in a big league season. I'd love to watch that guy take BP.
Yeah, I think, in theory that's good, but yesterday I happened upon that, I don't know if you guys have seen it, the Big Three basketball league where they've got guys, you know, NBA guys in their 40s. That's not pretty.
No, that's not quite as fun.
Nobody wants to see that. But I'm with you on Bonds. I saw that with my own two eyes in Miami a couple of years ago during spring training. All of a sudden, guys were, you know, in launch mode during BP, and Bonds rolled up his sleeves and stepped in there and started feeding balls over the fence. So that could happen pretty easily.
Ted Williams used to do it. They used to challenge him and Tom Grieve. Rich Walls, our guest, knows Tom Grieve real well, broadcaster for the Rangers. He used to tell me how Williams would be challenged when he was a manager of the Texas Rangers and would get in the box and boom, right over
That's
the fence.
That's pretty cool. I'd see it, yeah.
Nine drives all over, and he was in his 50s at that point. Interesting. Hey, Trout just passed his 1,000th game. A lot of stories this week about that. Are you a Trout Mantle guy? How do you stand on that one? And I'm going to ask you about Trout and Harper, but let me start with Trout, Mickey Mantle. The same breath?
Yeah, absolutely. And similar builds and similar skills, right? Even though Trout's not a switch hitter. And I never saw a Mantle play except on film. But in talking to baseball people that were familiar with Mantle, now Trout is not as accomplished in terms of career numbers, and it always to me, you know, what if Mickey Mantle were a Washington Senator, right? What if Mickey Mantle played for a team that didn't go to the World Series every year? That's kind of where Trout is right now. So, I mean, if you put Trout on the Giants, and he's played in three World Series and won them, if you put him on the Yankees or the Red Sox, who are perennially there, I think all of a sudden those numbers are, it's kind of the Bernie Williams argument in terms of the Hall of Fame. Look at Bernie's great playoff performance. There's plenty of guys that didn't have that opportunity on the big stage. So, yeah, I'm same breath, Mantle and Trout for me.
How about Trout Harper? Where do you stand on that one?
I'm going Trout on that. I mean, I think the hesitation with Harper, having worked in the National League East, is injuries and bumps. It took him a while to put together a complete season. And as you look at the back of Trout's baseball card, I know last year he played in just 76 games. But he came out of the gates going and has put together, in my mind, much more complete seasons than Harper.
One more question for Rich Waltz. Always great to just catch up and talk ball with you. We love having you on. This week there was a video that came out showing a fight, not a fight, but an argument between Terry Collins and Tom Hallion from a couple of years ago. And it had all the audio of the back and forth in the roughest, rawest language you could have. And MLB said, well, get that off the Internet. That's not part of the agreement. But would you like to see more of a microphone in baseball so you hear more of the voices of baseball, even the arguments and stuff like that?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Funny, I was in the umpire room. I had a game the day after that went viral, and I went in to talk to Tom Hallion, but not about that, because I wasn't sure if I didn't really want to go there. But I talked to him about his strike three call, which is a really a fun story, and he's got the best one in the big leagues.
Agreed.
Look, as kids, we grew up watching NFL films, right? And some of the best NFL films are when they had coaches and players mic'd up. And that was, I remember the first time I saw something like that, it was like, oh, wow. And even the older stuff, like the Lombardi stuff, you know, grab, 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 nobody tackling out there. That's exactly what this game needs, more access and more eyeballs. And let me tell you this, watching that video, to me, that was incredible umpiring. That was umpiring at its very best, because Hallion diffused the entire situation. He gave Terry Collins his chance to get out there and show that he was angry. He was able to move him to the dugout, let him get his last words in, and then get him off the field. So, to me, that showed Tom Hallion and the Major League umpires in a very positive fashion. I love that stuff, Marty. I think baseball needs more of that. It desperately needs avenues and ways creatively to promote the game, not only with the audience it's got, but with the audience that it wants, which is a younger audience. And something like that absolutely does it. Am I wrong here? Or you guys? How do you guys?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I loved it. I loved every minute of that. The fact that you got to hear the discussion. Even now, you get the NBA playoff stuff. You hear Steve Kerr in the huddle talking to his guys. Any chance you get a little inside look? Or I mean, NFL still does that sound effects show once a week. Anytime you get an inside look, and it seems like baseball tries to avoid letting that happen. It's what the NBA does so well, is the social media platform really pushing the league.
And it's not necessarily, I don't think it's the league that does that. I think it's teams themselves.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, as broadcasters, we push for access and ask, can we mic this person up or that person up? And there's, you know, there aren't that many teams that are gung-ho on, yeah, do whatever you want, mic anybody up. I think it's got to be a league-wide initiative. And teams have to buy in. Managers have to buy in. Some are better at it than others.
Boy, great. Hey, great talking with you. Glad you're back. Look forward to having you on next week if you're available. And it's always great just to catch up with the pulse of baseball, Rich. Thank you.
All right, Marty. Thanks, guy. And good luck to the Giants today. And I'm going with Panic. A couple of knocks for Panic.
We're going to remember this.
All right.
Believe we remember everything. So,
yeah, I want dinner at Original Joe's if he's the guy. So
if you're in town, you're invited. You're a winner. All right. All right. Thanks. All right. More coming up.